All righty. I'm gonna preach a message. I'm gonna really talk about your new constitution and what the importance of that constitution. And I want you to turn to the little book of Jude, verses 1-4. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Good crowd today. Good to see you, man. It's good. This building's full, man. You got to remember, there's another building. We have another building filled with kids over in the Becca building. And by the way, Brian Gregory, he's the man that shoots that cannon off and comes to our church with Cy. He's going to be they're going to shock his heart back in on Wednesday. So pray for Brian, Brother Brian Gregory, pray for him. And praying it all go well. I'm going to talk to you about contending for the faith. Boy, come back tonight. Young Bill is going to be preaching. I'm excited about our preacher boy. And Lord put him on my heart last week. And I went up to him and said, I want you to preach. These preacher boys, I like to let them get in there once in a while and keep them sharp. Amen? And I was thankful. My preacher used to let me preach. Pastor Roy Jones, he gave me opportunities to preach at Friendship Missionary Baptist. I got to do a lot of preaching as a young man. Jude, verses 1-4. Notice what it says there. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. Are we a servant? I want to be. And brother James, to them that are sanctified. Every person that got saved, you're sanctified. The moment you got saved, look up here. The Holy Spirit came in you. You didn't have to speak in tongues or nothing. The moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, the Bible says God gave you an operation made without hands, circumcision made without hands. That's talking about the Holy Spirit. He came into your heart and saved you. And now we're sealed, Brother Billy, until the day of redemption. We're sanctified. We're set apart. That's the word sanctified means set apart. Are sanctified by God the Father and preserved. Man, I'm glad I'm preserved. Boy, when the rapture comes, Carl, we're going to be preserved. You're going to give us brand new bodies. I'm going to chuck this over. Boy, I just about wore this one out, Bobby. I can't wait to get the new one. Preserved in Jesus Christ and called. I got to get down to my message. I got to pass these words up because they're all messages, aren't they? All the preachers saying, yeah, yeah. Mercy unto you. Peace and love be multiplied. Now look at verse 3 and 4. This is where I'm preaching. Beloved, that's how God thinks of us, Eddie. I was watching little Eddie, which little Eddie isn't little Ed. He isn't little. Eddie's not little, but we call him little Eddie. And as he just hobbled down here, you know, made his way down, I thought about, he didn't hobble me, but he, you know, his little Eddie walk, you know. I reminisced. I'm so glad I pastored over 21 years here. I've watched these kids grow up. I just went down and hugged them. I'm not trying to embarrass them. Preacher loves you. I really love you, son. And it thrilled my heart to see you walk down that aisle today. I remember little Eddie, little big Eddie, when he really was little. When he was, just a real little kid. I mean, little, maybe 3 or 4 years old. I used to scare him. I don't anymore, but I used to. Now he scares me. But what a blessing to see these kids grow up, you know? He's still growing up. He has to, but, you know, hey, I'm going to tell you, I love my kids here. I'm proud of you kids, you know. And Eddie Preacher loves you. You just don't know what you did for the preacher. When I saw you come in today, it thrilled my heart. Honest to God. It's like God came down and hugged me. I said, man, I remember that boy. I'm glad he's still in church. Amen. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you. It was needful for him to write. It was needful for us to make this constitution. And exhort you that you should watch the words. You should half-heartedly contend for the... You should earnestly... Look what it says there. You should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto those saints. Hey, I've given you something. I want you to keep it. Keep the light on. You know why? Look at verse 4. Because there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men turned the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? You've got that today. It's Brother Billy, one of my most special Vietnam vets, served our country, and I love him so much. Billy, when you and I were young, there was not that much of an attack, but the attack has accelerated against the things of God. That's why we need to contend for the faith that we believe in. We got to leave it for Eddie, little Eddie's children in the future when Eddie gets married, and for their children. We got to leave it for the babies. I held little baby Liam last week. Rosie had him at the house there for a day, and I held. He is so cute. He took after his mother. He didn't take after his dad. I'll tell you that. It's gonna be big like Nick, but. You can't help but love that. He's a huggy man. He's a huggy bear. I love that baby. He is the cutest little kid. And I just gave him about 100 kisses. I said, I love you, baby. And he just looked at me, okay, fella, come on. He's got the greatest little smile. See, you know why we're making this constitution? Because Liam's going to need this. Liam's going to need this. I want to preach to you today about contending for the faith. Heavenly Father, help me to do well for you today. I love my church. I was thinking this will be, I'll never be in another church. I'll be here till I die or the rapture. They'll never get rid of me here. And Lord, you've left me to be a overseer of this work here. And Father, I'm going to see it till the day I die or till the rapture. And Father, I just pray you'll bless us today and help me to do well for you that I can be a blessing to each person here. Help them to be grounded in the faith, to not be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, to gird up themselves to take on the wiles of the devil. Help us to know what your perfect will is and then to do it. We pray your blessings on us now in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're told in the book of Jude here to contend, not just to contend, but to earnestly. Did you notice God's words? Earnestly contend. Not just contend. Earnestly contend. Not just half-heartedly. It don't really matter that much. No, he said earnestly contend. In other words, contend with all your heart. Contend knowing what you have has to be passed on. Contend because you know that what you've got is the truth. And there's enemies out there that would try to take this truth from you and from those that would go beyond you and after you. Contend knowing that you... Contend means to battle. Contend means to fight for the truth. I'm glad, you know what, Bobby? I'm glad there were people way before me that fought for this truth. I'm glad there were people willing to lay their lives down. Hundreds of years before I ever got saved, there were people that were willing to lay their lives down for truth. Thousands of years before I got saved, they were laying their lives down to pass this down to you. Bay Ray, Grandpa loves her so much. People gave their lives. Jesus gave his life to pass this Holy Bible down to you. Don't take this Bible for granted. It's precious and it's holy. And it's going to be everything about this Constitution. Every church should have a Constitution founded on the Word of God. Amen? Well, I want to read to you from Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, the scripture says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." We're to keep on teaching people. Pass it on down. Pass it down. Pass it down. "Therefore, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." You know, and I'm in 2 Timothy 2:3. "Therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." I'm glad there's, you know, it's great being a Christian, but sometimes Christians have to stand up and fight. We have to take a stand for what God's given to us and what we know to be true. There are some things so important that we felt important to take a stand. The deacons and Pastor Dave have worked weeks on this constitution to make sure that you had something here at this church. Look up here. I don't plan on leaving this church. So if you think the old guy's leaving, I'm not. I'm here. Look up here. So I'm gonna make some of you cry today. I'm here till I die, or to the rapture. So if you think the preacher's taking a ride on the reading, I'm not. And that's another reason I wanted to put this in place, because I don't know, I'm not planning on leaving. I'm planning on being here to the rapture. But no matter what, whenever God calls me, I want to make sure I got something. I put 21 years of my life here, and I'm going to spend the rest of my life here. I really am. I don't want to make you feel bad, but I'm not leaving. Nobody else would have me. But I wanted to make sure, especially before we move out, and we will. I know people laugh and they think, oh, that'll never happen. I'm glad Billy keeps praying, because, Billy, we will see the miracle. You and I, we're going to see it out there. And baby Wade will grow up. I'll watch baby Gray. We'll watch baby Wade grow up there and become big. He'll be a bouncer he'll be a guy in our church. Amen? Like his daddy. I'm going to tell you right now, this Constitution, I'm going to give you some about it today, but I want you to read it this week. We'll vote it in next Sunday night. But this Constitution is very important. It's very important for this church, especially for the day we live in, because the world is turning away from truth. Well, I penned a few things for you to hear to this morning. As the world gets more liberal and liberal and turning away from the truth, there needs to be churches that say no to the liberalism. There needs to be a church, and more than this church. How many believe there needs to be churches that say, no, we're going to stay with the old past. No, we're going to stay with the old book. And there need to be churches that says, will stand as a beacon of light. Listen, a lighthouse for truth in a darkening world. I'm going to tell you right now, the world's not getting brighter, it's getting darker. I noted this. If you don't think the world's not turning away from Christ, even the scripture says in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away. I'm going to tell you, we're already seeing people fall away. Brother Rod Black knows what I'm talking about. I'm a little older than him, but he's got some years in the ministry. We both grew up, like, there's a lot of preachers that I grew up with. I mean, when I was a kid preacher, 40 years ago, some of them, number one, are not even in the ministry. And number two, Brother Bobby, a lot of them who used to take a stand, like we did, Mark, they use the NIVKEYMOUSC now. They don't think there's a difference in the Bibles. they've compromised on their music. I'm going to tell you right now, preachers and churches have fallen from truth. But I've made my heart up, Brother Bobby, that this church is going to be truth till Jesus comes. I want this church to always be known as a beacon of truth. I told you just before, I'm a member of the Tea Party. Proud to be a member of the Tea Party. Promoting the Tea Party. Conservative to the far right. Beyond Republican. Tea Party. I saw the Tea Party down there at the parade and they said, "You Republican?" I said, "No, I'm Tea Party. I don't like the Republicans either. I don't. I hate the Democrats worse, but I don't like the Republicans." I better not get into that today. That's not supposed to be in this message. So just take that out of the script. I don't like baby killers. But one lady, I was trying to get to one of my stores. I'm down here at the Tea Party was down there for the voting or something. And I got some literature and I gave him a donation. She says, "You're that preacher down there on Freedom right here." And I said, "Yeah." She said, "I heard you're a hellfire and brimstone preacher." I said, "Yes, I am. And I'm so proud to be one. And thank you for the compliment." See, you don't think when people go by this church, they know what this church is standing for. I'm going to tell you right now. I mean, there's a perfect stranger. She says, "Oh, I heard all about you. I heard you're real loud and you get excited and you preach about hell and stuff." I said, "Yeah, I do. Because Jesus did." What's sad, Brother Josh, is that a lot of preachers, because they're more worried about filling their buildings up, they've compromised the word to try to draw a crowd. I want a crowd, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to preach if there's only one person here, me. I'm not going to compromise God's word. I'm going to state, the Bible says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." Well, what I'm saying is, that's why you have to have constitutions for churches to show where the church stands scripturally. And that's what this constitution is all about, is what does Bethel Baptist Church believe? What does it stand upon? And so, this is why we made that. Now, listen to me. When you join this church, if you look at the front of it, now this is a new one. You'll notice that it has a church covenant, the first page. Maybe it's page two. Page two. It says church covenant. And when you join this church, you're making a covenant with God in this church. Say, "Hey, man, I'm gonna support this church. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to attend the services." I mean, when you join this church, you actually say, "Hey, I believe what this church stands for, and I'm going to be an active, real part of this church." How many see that? This church stands, it's got your doctrines there. It talks about reading the Bible and about prayer and on page three. And about soul winning, and about giving. When you join this church, you're saying, "I agree with those things." Then the next page, number four, it's got a doctrinal statement of faith. What does Bethel believe? I think, you know, if the church don't believe, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And you read, we believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We believe the Holy Spirit's the third part of the God, part of the Godhead. Amen? We believe in the blood atonement. We believe that Jesus' blood atoned for our sins. By the way, You can't without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews. We believe that. We believe in salvation, that you got to be born again. John 3, Jesus said in John 3, 3, you must be born again. We believe that. We're going to preach that. We're going to teach that. Don't get ruffled when you come here. This is what we stand for. We believe that men are fallen, that all men are sinners, including me. Everyone's a sinner. The only one who's never sinned was Jesus. Amen? We believe in eschatology. In other words, we believe that Jesus is coming back in the future days. We believe that one day the trump of God's going to sound and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive are going to rise with them. We believe that. And it can happen any moment. And you know what? The Bible teaches that. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 58. Behold, I show you a mystery. We should all sleep. I'm not going to quote all the verses, but the Bible teaches it. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. And then it goes on and says, if you believe that Christ died and arose, was buried and arose, when he comes, he'll call you up. We believe these things. But what I'm saying is, we're saying this to all the world. This is what Bethel Baptist Church is standing on. Are you still with me? And by the way, in the future, when everyone joins this church, they're going to get a constitution. When they come to join our church, we're going to give them a constitution. And they're going to read it and they're going to sign it. Woo! Hello? I said that right, didn't I, deacons? And that's for future. So if people try to sue this church, we're going to protect ourselves. See, we live in a different day. Hello? We're not living back in the old days. We're living in 2011 in the coming days of apostasy. How many are still with me? We believe, listen, we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We believe in the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15 says, Paul says, we're saved by believing the gospel, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and arose. We believe that. And we're going to preach it. We believe that there's only one way to go to heaven. There's only one Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We believe 1 John 5:12 is true. We believe God's record, that this is a record, that God has given to us eternal life, and his life is in his Son. He that the Son hath life. He that not the Son of God hath not life. We believe that. Yeah, we do. We believe there's a heaven and there's a hell. I believe when Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, I believe he said his words were true. I believe there is a heaven. I believe when Jesus said in Luke 16, 23, that the rich man lift up his eyes in hell, being in torment. I believe that. And this church needs to teach that if the Lord doesn't, you know, I was looking at the Jewish calendar only says we're in the year 5,772. See, I'm a numerology guy, and I really believe Christ's going to come back in that 6,000th year. And I believe I don't believe they're right on their calendar number. Because I think we're right close to the 6,000th year. Now, I know we're at 2011 right now, but, you know, there's no doubt things are messed up. But what I believe in my heart that on the 6,000th year, God's going to, I believe he works in numbers. Are you with me? That's another message. One day is the Lord, 1,000 years, 1,000 years, one day. God made man on the sixth day. Jesus died, suffered on the cross for 6 hours for man. And I believe he's coming. And then the seventh day he rested. And the seventh day is the millennium, the kingdom, 1,000 years. Hello? Anybody home? I'm not going to argue with that today, though. But I said, man, if the Lord doesn't come back, Brother Stephen, if the Jews are right, we've got 228 years before the rapture. I don't believe that to be true, but if they were correct, I've got to make sure I leave something behind. I mean, let's face it. As long as I'm here, you're going to have spit to get through me, buddy. I mean, this old bulldog can still bite. I might be older, but I still bite. Amen? I ain't going to let no one still destroy my church. I put my whole life here. God's let me. What an honor. And it's the preacher's job to protect his flock and to love his people, as Pastor Dave was talking about this morning. And I do. And I want to leave something. If I don't make it to the rapture, if the Lord calls me home, I want to leave something that if I have to close my eyes, I can feel comfortable saying, man, there's something in place that's going to protect this church. And I talked to Pastor Dave about these things, and he and Brother Bobby and the deacons, they got together and they put this thing together. And I like what they did. And we went over and we went over and we went over. Ruthie, what my goal is, that this church will be a fundamental King James Bible preaching solid church to the rapture. No matter if it's 5 years from now or 228 years from now, I want this church to be always in the church that stands for truth. And what we got in this Constitution, if the people won't ever turn on it, we'll always protect this church. Can anyone say amen? See, I believe the devil's real. And I believe Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, how said, how art thou fallen, O Lucifer? I believe Lucifer fell. And I believe he's out to destroy people's lives. You know, and I believe Jesus is coming back real soon in the rapture. And if you don't believe it, that's right, but he's still coming back. The Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in hell, but there's still a hell. And I believe the Bible is the pure word of God, without error, perfect, inspired, preserved forever. And that's a big issue in this Constitution. Because here's the reason, I'm going to have you turn to a couple of scriptures with me. Because if you don't have the right Bible, you're going to leave all truth. See, the Bible is the center of the truth. Hello? If you leave this Bible, you watch people that leave it. They err from truth. And so we've made a big issue in this Constitution about the King James Bible. And I want you to look at a couple of scriptures with me. Are you in Timothy right now? Well, while you're in Timothy, look at 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture, not just part of it. 2 Timothy 3, all script, every word, every letter, every symbol, all scripture is given by what? Yeah, there's people say that's not inspired today. I got news for you. I'm going to take what God says. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Bobby, God said, I've given you a Bible. I furnished you with all you need. It's perfect. It's inspired. And it's what you need to bring people to me. Don't try to give me another Bible. God's already gave me one. Are you still with me? I put this down. We don't need another Bible. We already got the one God gave us. Amen? That's all we need. Look at Psalms chapter 12. Look at Psalms 12, verse 6 and 7. I know you know these scriptures. I want you to hear it. I can quote these scriptures, but I'm turning into it right now. Look at verse 6 and 7 of Psalms 12. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Seven's God's perfect number. Look at verse 7. And it's amazing, it is verse 7. God's perfect number. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt what? Preserve them for just a few days. No. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God says, I've given you an eternal word. I'm not going to let people tear this Bible down. I'm not going to let them correct it. I'm going to stay with what God says. I don't care how many degrees they got. I don't care how many books they read. I don't care how many people go to their church. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to take God over any person. For the guy wearing a $5,000 Italian suit or a guy wearing a bunch of clothes from Hobo Joe Lane. I don't care. Doesn't matter. If I tell you it's wrong, I'm wrong. Look at Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. There's no errors in this Bible. Don't correct this Bible. God's going to correct you for correcting it. Bible says in Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6, every word of God is pure. It's a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Amen? And add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Woo! So all these guys that are professors that think they know more than God, correcting God's word, God's saying, you're a liar. You're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar. Everyone says that there's errors in this Bible. I'm telling you, God says you're a liar. Because God said this Bible's perfect. And I'm going to believe God's word over man. Amen? And we've put this in our Constitution that we believe this Bible is inspired and perfect, that's going to last throughout eternity. And matter of fact, we've taken it so far. I don't have the pages in front of me, but when you look at that word, it's probably near the back of your Constitution. It talks about the pastor. The pastor or anyone that works for the school, page 9. One of the mandatory things that I've left in here, Ruthie, if something would ever happen to me, this church cannot call any pastor. No pastor can teach and preach here unless he believes this Bible is a pure word of God. And if he comes in as a snake, tells you a lie. We put in there, if he turns on it, he can be dismissed immediately. See, anyone to be a song leader, to be a Sunday school teacher, or be a teacher at the BBCA, anyone that holds an office in this church of teaching and stuff, you must believe the Bible is a pure word of God. That's inspired. Because if you don't, you cannot be here. Or you could be in the church, but you can't teach. In the past, I didn't know it, but we had people in here that didn't believe this like I did. And so God had to clean this place out. You might not like what I say there, but I'm telling you the truth. And now we're putting some stuff in here where once this gets voted in, it can never be challenged again. See, because I'm planning on being here with you right to the end, Billy. But I don't know what God's got for my life. He might call me home. And I'm not going to get mad about going to heaven. You can't, I mean, trust me, it even beats Naples, Florida. Although I did, when I get older, like in the 70s, I'm hoping someday to become a pastor emeritus, Rod. So like in the winter, I can go with Cy down to Florida for like the snowbirds. And, while you guys are up here in this 4 foot of snow, I can be down there and playing shuffleboard. But that's a long ways off for me yet. But I'm looking forward to that someday. Not to be gone from here, but just a couple, maybe 3 weeks out of the winter, when you guys are having the rough here, I can be down hello from Naples. Pastor Richard E. Skyver, emeritus. See you in May. Hold the fort. I'm praying for you. Suffering for Jesus down in Naples, Florida. But what I want is this. No matter if I'm here or not, no matter if Pastor Dave's here or not, or Bobby. See, I've got preachers. This church is so solid now. You don't know how blessed you are in this church. You've got preachers deep here, and everyone believes like your preacher here. You've got a lot of strength right now. We pray that nothing would ever hurt this, that it would only grow. And when you move out to the land, and this is one reason we're doing some of this stuff, we're going to have an instant growth. But we want to make sure the people that grow with us believe like us. Because there's no sense in them trying to get in and trying to cause us trouble. Because we're never going to change our... I'm never going to change my view on the Word of God. I'm just telling you right now, if I die, you bury me with the King James Bible. That's what I want. And if you don't, I'll come back and haunt you. No one can take the office of a pastor or associate pastor, music director, Sunday school, BBCA teacher. I mean, any office, you'll read it. Any office in this church, if something would happen to us, the deacons already know that if a man would come to candidate for this church, if a man would even come to candidate for this church, if something would happen to me, and you'd have enough sense to put David in my place. But I've even got that protected. If a man that would come here, he can't even candidate with this Constitution, Rod. Unless he believes the Bible is a pure, inspired Word of God, he can't even be considered as a candidate.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm not letting no stinking devil in here. After I've been here most of my life and spent my ministry trying to build a solid work here for Christ. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to pass this on to our kids and your kids. I'm not going to let some devil take... Someday you're going to have 30 acres of land out there with a beautiful building. You think I'm going to let some liberal preacher take that out? I'd jump out of my grave. I'd come back. No, this Bethel Baptist Church is going to be a church that's going to be known for the Word of God, that stands for, supports missionaries, loves the missions, cares about getting the gospel out, soul winning. See, that's what this church is going to be known for. We're not going to turn from it. And even when the older folks die off, these younger kids are going to have to stay with the stuff. Amen? Isn't this good stuff? And look at one more thing I got here for you. This will get you excited. We put in this rod to protect us. We will not marry same-sex marriages.
Amen.
What page is that? Is that 13? Page 13. Marriage ceremony qualifications. Now everyone knows I won't. If you have alcohol, I'm not gonna. You know, I only marry people in my own church. I only marry members of Bethel. But here's the thing. I'm even protected. Some queers would sneak in. We didn't know it. They're not really queers. They're sodomites. That's what the Bible calls them. Oh, preacher, you shouldn't be so evil. I'm not. I'm just telling you, we're not going to marry men and men. Women and women. The Bible, look at what it says there. Without apology of this church to allow only scriptural wedding ceremonies. Therefore, according to the scriptures, no pastor or ordained minister, none of my preacher boys, a Baptist church will permit any time to perform a wedding ceremony that is outside the traditional scripture definition of marriage. The marriage shall consist of a man and a woman. And at no time will it allow to have a marriage of the same sex. Now that might not, you say, why are you putting it in there? Because all through the country already, they're in New York and over in San Francisco, and they're making people marry same-sex people. Well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. If I go to jail, I'm not going to do it. I'm not. And none of my preachers are in this church. But we're going to put it in our constitution. So it can't ever, we could take it to court and say, no, it's in our constitution. We're not letting queers get married in our church. I'm not saying they can't get married. I'm saying they can't get married in my church or by me. They can do what the government allows them, but they're not going to do it in my church. Lester Roloff said, do you know where you're standing? And Paul in the valley. So, listen, in Genesis 2:22, let me read this scripture to you. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Brought her unto the man. God ordained a man to be with a woman. He said it was not good that man be alone. He meant it for him to be with a woman. If he would have wanted men with men, he would have made Adam and Steve, not Adam and Eve. It's against nature to be with a man. It's against nature to be with a woman. That's why I'm glad your kids go to BBCA. You're being taught truth. In the public schools, they teach them it's all right. It's not all right. I want you to look at one more scripture, and I'll probably shut up in a few minutes here. Look at Romans chapter 1. Well, I'm just giving you some of this constitution. It's pretty good, isn't it? I really like it. I'm feeling pretty good about it. Look at Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 24. Romans 1:24. I'll go down to verse 28. Yeah, all the way. Yeah, right. You got it, Tommy. Wherefore, how many have got Romans 1:24? Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies. God's saying they're dishonoring their bodies. How many see that? 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Now look at verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up unto what? Vile affections. That's evil. For even their women did change the natural use of them which is against nature. In other words, look at verse 27. By the way, he said they're vile and they're not natural. And likewise, 27. Likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one to another. Men with men. Don't tell me he's not talking about this. Working that which is unseemly and receiving themselves the recompense of their error. How many see that? Amen. By the way, men with men. When you read Genesis 13:13, God's talking about Sodom. And it says in Genesis 13:13, the men of Sodom were wicked sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And then he went in chapter 19 and he destroyed them all. Why do you think Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed? Because of the evil sin of sodomy. Even those men tried to come and get those angels that came in there. It was, listen, they were all sodomites. And God destroyed them. What do you think he's going to do to San Francisco? Queer city. USA. They're evil. I know you don't. Well, that guy. I don't hate queers. I hate their sin. I want them to be saved. But I'm gonna tell you right now. If you think God is gonna spare America, he didn't spare Sodom and Gomorrah. And I want you kids, look up here, you kids. It's evil. I can't imagine a man like, man, I can't imagine that. It just makes me want to, gives me the heebie-jeebies, man. Woo! And God says, it's not natural, and it isn't. You say, well, I don't get warm up to girls. Then something's wrong with you, pal. Hello? But this country's, they're leaving it. And when I was a young man, Natty and Bay Ray and Tippy Brooke, my grandbabies that I love so much. There was no, they said that, they always said they're in the closet. The queers were in the closet because they knew enough not to come out because they would be condemned for their evil sin. Now, they say they've come out of the closet. No, the world just got sinful. Because listen, it was sinful back in 1900, in 1950, and 1960, and it was sinful back in Jesus' day, and it was sinful back in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it's still sinful. And in verse 28 says, those people that are queers, sodomites, well, they don't like you to call them, but that's what they are, they're sodomites. The Bible says God put them over to a reprobate mind. What happens? How do you become a queer? You're not born that way. You say no to God, no to God, no to God. And finally, God just turns the light off and you become evil. By the way, I teach this in the book of Romans. If you see all those characteristics about these reprobates, the 13th thing down there, if you look in like verse 29, 30, the 13th thing down is called haters of God. The sodomites are haters of God. You say, boy, I don't like this preacher. Well, that's just what this church stands for. And I don't ever want it not to stand for it. And so these are the kind of things we are putting in this Constitution so the truth of God can never be trampled. So it can never be compromised. So it can never be taken away. Standing firm on the Word of God. I got to close this out somehow. I'm also going to teach four pastor classes. I'm going to make up the lessons myself. I haven't got them all made yet. One will be on tithing. One will be on, of course, it'll be tithing. One will be faithful on separation, things like that. There'll be four lessons that would just be fundamentally sound, that would ground people in the faith so they'd have a foundation. Amen? Now, when we first start this, I'll be the teacher of it. Eddie's already given me a classroom. I've got a class already room for me. At the start, I'll be teaching it. I don't know how long I'll teach it, but for the first few months, I will teach it. And the only time I'll teach it is when we have new members. And it's going to be a four-week series. No matter what time, if they come in, if we get people join, they start on number one. But if another person joins next week, they'll come in at number two. But they got to take all four lessons before they. It's going to be lesson one, two, three, four. And we're just going to keep repeating it. Boom, 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 boom. And the only people who are going to be in there are people that join our church. They're only going to be in there for 4 weeks, and they got to be there for. If they miss lesson three, they can't join the church. So they get lesson three. How many are with me? And then eventually we're going to hand it off to one of the deacons, and the deacon's going to teach it. But I want to do it at the start. And I'm going to make up, it's going to be my Bible teachings. So trust me, it's going to be there. Amen? I'm excited about this. I really am. And it's going to make our church stronger. It'll stop a lot of the fighting within. Listen, people don't have to believe what we believe. But if they're going to be in this church, they're going to. There's no sense. If you don't believe this, you might as well get out. Because we're standing on the Word of God. You say, well, that's just a regular. No, you, look up here and I'm all done. You don't realize what's. I talk to missionaries all the time. I talk to evangelists all the time. I guarantee, don't tell them that, Rod, but if Rod would be honest with you, he sees a lot of stuff himself because he's out there. And Baptist churches that we think are fundamental today, Jimmy, they're not. Look up here, and I'm all done. I'm not talking about liberal churches going liberal. They've always been liberal. I'm talking about the stream, the Baptist, independent Baptist churches today, I'm telling you, they're leaving the truth. They are. Not all of them, but many. You'd be surprised. It's scary. You think that's why I emphasize these young kids? You wonder why I'm so hard on these kids? You know, I want to train them because someone's got to be left behind. Because the world's going fast to the left. I'm talking about the fundamental ranks. And if we don't raise some kids up that really know the Bible and believe the Bible, America's in trouble. And it's going to have to be churches like this that keep the oil in the lamp. Because years ago, the oil of the lamp went out in the temple. And they had no word. And you don't ever want to see a country without the oil in the lamp. And what I'm saying to you, church, is this. I'm trying to leave you with something that'll keep the oil in the lamp that'll burn forever till Jesus comes. Not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to be crude. I'm trying to tell you this is important for the day we live in, because fundamentalism is... there's a lot of guys leaving, and a lot of churches that used to be are left. But God's always got his church. And I want this to be one of God's churches. How many want this to be one of God's churches? Let's keep the light on. Danny Sable's got some grandsons that are growing up. Danny, I want them to be able to grow up and hear the word. I want them to hear the same truth. I want your grandbabies to hear the same truth that they heard from me 20 years from now if the Lord doesn't come. I just want to pass it down. Brian will be getting married in a year and a half, so right, the kids will be getting married in 2013. And I'll get to see that. Matter of fact, I'm going to be officiating their wedding. Proud to do it. I knew Brian when he was a little tiny kid. Him and Eddie were always, they were young, but they never were tiny. They were always big, big boys. But I want it, Maggie, I want it so if the Lord doesn't come back and you kids grow up and you have four or five kids and they grow up and have kids and they come to Bethel and the preacher will be long gone then. And Grandma Sue will be long gone then. But I'm hoping you have an old-fashioned preacher here. Yes. Yes. Yep. Don't have to be old, but I hope he's old-fashioned. Yes. That's why young Bill Turner, I'm so excited about Billy Turner. I've got a young preacher here I said, Billy, I want you to stay here for the entire future of the Bethel. I want him to be here forever. You got. I told Bobby, I said, Bobby, I want you to be here. I told these preachers, I want them to stay here. Stay here and man the fort and keep the truth and pass it down to your kids. I believe the Lord's going to come back, but if he doesn't, 30 years from now, Louise, I want somebody here that's still spitting and waving this old King James Bible. And not ashamed of it. And that's what your Constitution's for. To try to give you a safeguard. To keep the truth. That's what we wrote this for. To have a safeguard for your church. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that you would see in our hearts that we want to serve you and we want to be faithful. And we want to do right. And we want to honor you. And Lord, we want to please you in all that we do. Help us, Father. Help us. Help us to stay the course. Lord, by God's grace, as long it's all that's in me, as long as I have breath in me, I promise you, as the head of this church, as the overseer, the shepherd, I'll do all I can to keep the fundamentals of truths in this church. I pray for those that would follow me, that they would keep the banner of truth going. And I pray, Father, that banner of truth would go to the day you call us up to heaven. I just want Bethel Baptist Church to be a church that stays with the truth to the sound of the trumpet. Help us to have that heart that we want our church. Not that we're better than anybody. We're just sinners saved by grace. But there's got to be churches that will take a stand. There's got to be churches that will say, we will be the light for Christ. There's got to be churches that will earnestly, it's not easy, people attack us. People make fun of us. People battle with us. We need men and women who are willing to contend for the faith, earnestly contend, that they'll never give up, that they'll never give in, that they'll never turn back from the truth, that they'll hold it precious with their heart. They'll stay the course till you come. If there's anyone here lost today, Father, I pray they'll be saved. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Thank you. You may put it down. Is there any here today say, Preacher, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven. And Pastor, I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. I need to be saved. Anyone like that? Just raise your hand, let it put down. Won't come to you. Won't embarrass you, but I'll pray for you. Anyway, Pastor, pray for me. I don't want to die and go to hell. Anyone like that? Pray for me. If you want to get baptized, you come right now. Those who are going to get baptized, you come even before I pray. One last thing before we pray. People are coming to be baptized. Christian, have you given up? Have you got tired in the battle? Have you thought, what's the use? How many say, Preacher, I'll be honest with you, after I heard you today, God spoke to my heart. Preacher, I wasn't in the battle, but I'm going to get back in the battle. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes, yes. God bless you. Pastor, I'm going to stay with the truth. How many will say, Preacher, I'm going to stay with the truth no matter what? Right to the end. God bless you. Amen. Jesus said, sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Help us, Father. Help us to realize the responsibility we have as a church here. This might have been a solemn message today, I don't know. There has to be some gravity about this Constitution. I wanted them to realize the importance of this Constitution. There is some gravity, there is some responsibility. There is an importance to it. It's more than just voting on a little booklet of paper. There's a lot of truth with this paper. It means something. It has an importance to this church and the future of the church. And for those that would be in this church now and those that would come years after, help us to see that importance. Help us to rise to the occasion. And help us, as we're told in Jude, yes, Lord, I will earnestly contend. I will earnestly contend for the faith. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. You want to come right now.